in Randolph County and from us around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. Nice, sunny, still a little chilly day out there, but they say warm weather's on the way. Talking today with Paul Schimpf. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's I will take the slightly cooler weather rather than hot. It seems like in Southern Illinois, so often we go from basically winter to blazing hot summer without much of a spring. So a cool day is something that's good. But it's good to be down here. It's great to be in the studio with you. Enjoying being in the 618 area code. I'm going to have to tomorrow. I'm going to be driving up to Northern Illinois. I'll be speaking at an event in downtown Chicago Wednesday night. So. Running for governor means I've got to be all over the state, but you have to enjoy the times that you get to be still in the 618 area code.
Right. If I look back to my days when I ran for office, and it was just a county office, but I made the comment to someone. I said, "You really don't realize how large of an area a county is until you start running for office and campaigning in it." And I imagine the state looks 10 times larger than
it is, and there are. I ran for office statewide back in 2014 when I ran for Illinois Attorney General, and that was, that was something where it is amazing. From where I live in Monroe County, depending on what the traffic's like, it can be, 6 hours to downtown Chicago. But if I want to go further south and if I want to go east, going to the to the other corner of the state, it's still. There are places in southeastern Illinois that I have to travel 3 hours to get to still. So it is, people don't realize what a big state it is. It is a challenge running for elected office if you're, from the southern part of the state, because 75% of Illinois' population lives north of Interstate 80. Interstate 80 is the interstate that collects Joliet with the Quad Cities. So if you're serious about running for office statewide, you have to be up in the northern part of the state, because that's where all the voters are.
True, exactly. I'll tell you what, we got a break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick, and we will come back and dive into some of our topics today. You're listening to The People Speak here on Rail Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. 9:35. I'm Jeff, again talking today with Illinois Republican gubernatorial candidate Paul Schimpf. I guess we can use that term, but we were talking. You've got a new website out that people can check out.
We did. So the main campaign website where people can find out about me is Schimpf, then the number 4 Illinois.com. So SchimpfForIllinois.com, and that's with the number 4 instead of the word. But that's that's all about me. But then we, a couple weeks ago, at the very end of April, we launched a second website called PritzkerFailed.com. And the idea behind PritzkerFailed.com is to really lay out the case against J.B. Pritzker, why he has not been a good governor for the state of Illinois. In Illinois, we not only have a fiscal deficit, under J.B. Pritzker, we also have a leadership deficit as well. So the idea behind this website is this is really going to make the substantive case of why J.B. Pritzker is not deserving of another 4 years as our governor. The Illinois Republican Party has a website called firepritzker.org, and you know that's well and good, but that's mainly a fundraising website. People can, you know, can buy signs and T-shirts that say Fire Pritzker. Pritzkerfail.com, which is run by my campaign, is substance. And one of the things that I like the most about Pritzkerfail.com is that it gives the people of Illinois an opportunity to log on and submit their stories. They can tell their stories about how, you know, even though, you know, say you're a small business owner and you would have been able to operate safely within the pandemic, you know, because, you know, Governor Pritzker was picking winners and losers and saying some businesses were essential and some were not, you know, maybe you had to keep your doors closed. You were not able to operate. And as a result, maybe you lost your business. Well, if you go to PritzkerFail.com, you know, you can submit that story. And we've had just ordinary people from Illinois putting their stories in about how, you know, Pritzker has failed, whether it's been, you know, the loss of veterans at the LaSalle Veterans Home, or whether it's just been, you know, the fact that our law enforcement personnel feel like they're, you know, under a microscope right now and being targeted and not being supported by the governor. Pritzkerfail.com is really, you know, the opportunity for us to lay out the substantive case against J.B. Pritzker. And I'm not talking about personal attacks. That's, you know, there's way too much toxicity, you know, in our political discourse right now. You know, J.B. Pritzker, I think, is well-intentioned. He's well-meaning. Okay, and I'm not going to attack him personally, but his record as Illinois governor has been a catastrophic failure, and that's something that needs to be pointed out so that people can decide whether he is deserving of a second term.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, you see a lot of other signs across the state in people's yards and stuff that kind of echo their sentiments on that, but I mean, I agree with you. I mean, you know, you got to keep some civility in it. You got to argue the facts that are out there and not just personalities and, you know, attacking the other person. You got to, you know, it's like, I guess in a way you are, but yet you're kind of coming at it, you know, here's why.
Well, it's, you know, it kind of goes to, and I touched on the LaSalle Veterans Home. Mm-hmm. I mean, the chain of command and the leadership that J.B. Pritzker had in place dealing with that tragedy was simply unacceptable. You know, and I think it's below the belt and it's out of bounds for me to say, you know, if I were to attack and say, well, you know, the governor doesn't care about veterans. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. You know, I'm not talking about what is going through his mind. But the fact is, you know, he had a leadership system in place where we had 7 veterans died on Veterans Day alone, and the governor did not even receive a phone call about that. You know, and that's on him. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I learned as a leader in the Marine Corps is you have to set up, you know, what are called the commander's critical information requirements, meaning, you know, if this bad thing happens, I need to know about it. Mm-hmm. That is leadership, and that's something that Governor Pritzker was obviously not providing in the case of our veterans. The same thing when you have, you know, an outbreak of COVID-19 identified at the facility, but yet it still takes 11 days for the Illinois Department of Public Health to get an inspection team out to that facility. That is a leadership failure. It has nothing to do with whether Governor Pritzker is a good person or a bad person, you know, but it is a fact. That was a leadership failure. It took 11 days mm-hmm. post-outbreak to get an inspection team out there. And when that inspection team arrived, they found that the facility was using the wrong kind of hand sanitizer. They were using a type of hand sanitizer that did not kill the COVID-19 virus. you know, you have to wonder, you know, would any of the deaths have been prevented? Would the transmission of this disease have been prevented if we had an inspection team out there, you know, the day after the outbreak was identified and they said, hey, look, you're using the wrong kind of hand sanitizer. Right. You got to switch that up. You know, how much of the virus would have been killed and how much of it would have been prevented from being transmitted just by prompt action? That is a leadership failure, and that is something that Governor Pritzker is accountable for.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, part of the job of a governor is to appoint people in these various positions, and you got to make sure the people you appoint are responsible and are going to be able to provide you with the information you need to.
Well, at a certain point, when you're the governor, you have to either hold people accountable and make changes, or you become accountable yourself. Another example of that is the Illinois Department of Employment Security that was, you know, supposed to be providing people aid during the pandemic if they needed help, you know, whether it was unemployment or loans for their small business. Those were supposed to be administered by the Illinois Department of Employment Security. And for the longest time during the pandemic, there was not a director in place. You had an acting director who was doing the job of a director, and then also, you know, he was also acting as the general counsel for the department. So you didn't even have, you know, somebody that was solely identified as the leader of that department. And, you know, the Illinois Department of Employment Security is still, they still don't have their act together. It's still weeks before you get a call back. That agency is a national embarrassment, and Governor Pritzker has not held anybody accountable. The idea is you either fix the problem or you hold somebody else or you hold somebody accountable. There have been no changes. Governor hasn't done anything to get IDES working the way it needs to be. And that's really been, you know, that has been symptomatic of his administration. You know, he, you know, has appointed some people as his agency directors. Some of the ones have, you know, have done a decent job, but where they haven't, the governor has not gotten involved and he hasn't made changes. Another area where the performance of Illinois government is simply unacceptable is the Illinois State Police's processing of FOID applications. The idea that, you know, there is a huge backlog. I have people still reaching out to me saying, you know, it's been 11 months since I submitted my renewal application and, you know, I've heard nothing. And then what the state winds up doing is the state has said, well, you know, if your FOID is expired, you know, it's still good. Well, you know, the firearms dealers aren't buying that. You know, they have liability themselves. And when a firearms dealer says, I don't care what the state of Illinois says, your card is expired and we're not going to sell this firearm to you. Well, then that means the state of Illinois is preventing people from exercising their Second Amendment rights. But Governor Pritzker has not gotten involved in trying to solve that problem. You know, he really has had, you know, a hands-off, very disinterested leadership style, you know, and that is what I've called the Pritzker leadership deficit. It is real, and it is hurting the people of Illinois.
Right. Talking about the FOID cards, I just got mine in about 2 weeks ago, and I had applied for it in December of 2019.
Congratulations. I hope it was worth the wait. So, yeah. So, you know, December of 19, December of, you know, 20, that's a year. So what about 15 months, 14 mm-hmm. months? Well, you know, and that's just something, you know, that should not be the case. I mean, you know, it's not, the state has a lot of challenges. It does. But when you're not fixing the problem, you know, when the problems just persist and there's really no effort to try to solve the problems, you know, that again is a leadership failure.
Exactly. We got another break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in, and we will come back and talk some more with Paul Shemp here on The People Speak right after this. Welcome back. And I'm Jeff, talking today with Paul Shemp, and got a little time left in the program today. One thing we talked about too, I guess it's that time we had the census and everything, and now it's time to redraw the legislative maps.
We are, and that is something that, you know, the Illinois doesn't have the detailed census data back yet. We have found out that the federal government that we've lost one of our seats in the U.S. Congress. So the Illinois General Assembly is in the process right now of drawing some new legislative maps. So this will, you know, the legislative boundaries for the 59 legislative districts that the state is divided into, those will be new. The congressional districts will be new. And, you know, what's interesting, you know, and what's germane to the governor's race is, it's interesting that, you know, this process is going to prove to be yet another example that every statement, every promise that J.B. Pritzker makes seems to have an expiration date associated with it. Because when J.B. Pritzker was running for governor in 2017 and 2018, he was very clear that he said we needed our legislative maps drawn by an independent commission. That is something that really almost every elected official and candidate in Illinois has always said. You know, I don't want maps drawn by politicians. I want maps drawn by an independent commission. Well, unfortunately, you know, what is happening in Illinois right now is the Illinois Democrats in the General Assembly are in the process of drawing new political maps. And Governor Pritzker has said, you know, has indicated that he plans on signing whatever map the Democratic politicians draw, which is directly contrary to the statement and promises that he made when he was a candidate for governor. So that's why I say that, you know, it seems that everything that comes out of J.B. Pritzker's mouth politically seems to have an expiration date. You know, he's going to abandon, you know, whatever his promise was once it is, once that promise is no longer politically expedient. So, you know, one of the things that people, you know, that a lot of Illinois politicians are complaining about right now is, you know, they say that the people of Illinois don't trust their government. And that's absolutely true. But if you want to do something about the fact that people don't trust their government, if you're an elected official and you want people to trust you, it's not a difficult concept. If you want to be trusted, start acting trustworthy. You know, tell the truth, work hard, and keep your promises. That's all I ever tried to do as an elected official. I always, I'm proud of my record as a state senator in terms of keeping my promises. I remember, when I was running for the state senate, I said, look, I will not vote in favor of a standalone tax hike. You know, that's, you know, I said that probably, you know, at least 100 times when I was campaigning for state senate. So when, Speaker Madigan, you know, brought forth a tax hike to end the budget impasse, and it was, you know, basically just a tax hike with no reforms, it was a decision that I didn't make lightly, but it was a decision that didn't take me very long to make. I was going to keep my promise, so I voted no right on that. And that really, I think that is a, you know, that is a difference between me and a lot of politicians. You know, I have said running for governor, you know, I'm going to work as hard as I can and try to run as best a campaign that I can run, but I will not do two things. I will not destroy my family and I will not destroy my integrity. So, you know, I feel really that, you know, what you have to do as a leader is work hard, tell the truth, keep your promises, and I want people to be able to trust whatever statement I make.
Right. I mean, if you have the people's trust and stuff, I mean, you can get a lot more accomplished, and people will work with you. I mean, you've got people working against him, you know, and it's like,
well, and the reality is we need as a society to be able to trust our government. I mean, your average person wants to think about politics as little as possible. You know, some would say that's a bad thing. You know, we need to, you know, and I certainly think people need to be more civically engaged. But at the same time, you know, if you have people that are running, you know, a small business, if you have people that are employers, you know, I want them to be focused on how, you know, how they are going to be successful and how they can keep providing jobs to people. Mm-hmm. You know, and part of that would be, you know, part of, you know, what that entails is them being able to trust their government, you know, and believe that their government is operating, you know, in an above board, transparent, non-corrupt manner, so that they're getting, you know, the government that they deserve, the best government possible. You know, but that is all based on the ability to trust your elected officials. You know, one of the things that I say my campaign stands for is common sense conservative leadership that we can trust. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, when I talk to people, I'm like, look, you may not have known me, you know, for the past 20 years, but you know, you were certainly trusting me. You know, you were trusting me, you know, when I represented the United States in the trial of Saddam Hussein. You were trusting me to make sure that international criminal due process standards were upheld. Mm-hmm. Same thing, you know, when I was a prosecutor, and you know, I do want to point out it is National Law Enforcement Week, but you know, when I was a prosecutor, I was being trusted to make sure that the rule of law applied and that, you know, that I was, you know, seeking justice and, you know, doing things, you know, in an ethical manner. That was a huge position of trust. And, you know, we need that out of our government officials. If you want good government, you know, elect good people to the government. You know, elect exactly. People that are trustworthy, people that have shown that they, you know, can work with others and that they can lead and they can find solutions. That's what we need to be looking for out of our candidates, not people that are just going to scream the loudest or that are going to try to just, you know, burn everything down and make the system more toxic. We need leaders who can unite our state and find solutions.
Exactly. You mentioned there it is National Law Enforcement Week, and that police are kind of in the headlines these days.
They are, you know, so I do want to take this opportunity to, you know, to say thank you to our law enforcement personnel, both active, retired. I'm also including, not only our police officers and our sheriffs, but also our prosecutors, our corrections officers, you know, and their families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, you know, we need a governor who is going to be just absolutely unequivocal on this point. Our law enforcement community represents the best of America. You know, they put their lives on the line for us every day. You know, it is a extremely stressful job, both on them and on their families. And, you know, they need to know that we support them 100%. So I do want to say, you know, take a moment to say thank you to our law enforcement professionals and their families for the work that they do on our behalf.
All right. Well, it looks like we're out of time, but thanks for being with us today. And
I really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for having me, and I'll talk with you next month.
All right. We'll be looking forward to see what's going on then. Paul Schimpf here on The People Speak today. I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.